Hey, John.
What's that, Alex?
You know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate that no good, low down, dirty, rotten scum James Bond stole so much from Order of the Black Eagle.
Finally, the truth can be told.
So we watched Order of the Black Eagle.
Order of the Black Eagle. A second in a duology of films, apparently.
Oh, there's only two?
There's only two.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Boy, not to point fingers, but I'm going to point fingers at my friend Dario, who recommended this.
Please do.
Yeah. This wasn't very good.
It was awful.
Yeah.
This is the second week in a row that I've been wrong in the wrap-up. Whereas before I was wrong in like, well, we're never going to see Suicide Squad again. And yeah, bloop, they're making a second one. Last week I said, well, this is going to be a treat, like a fun, bad movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Oops. Boy, yeah. I was wrong.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just guessing that he hadn't seen it because to describe to the audience that didn't watch it with us this week. And I don't know if I'd recommend watching it. But on paper, you've got James Bond ripoff. He's got a pet monkey.
A baboon.
Yes, he got a pet gibbon. He makes out with all the ladies, finds the frozen corpse of Hitler.
Mm.
These all sound like fun things.
Yeah.
Like for a movie, obviously. Finding the frozen corpse of Hitler, I think, would probably be the singular most disturbing moment of your entire life if that happened.
Right, like if you just went in the bathroom and it was sitting on your toilet.
Yeah, that would certainly, I'm not going to say never keep me away from shitting again, like Ghoulies did when I was a child.
Sure.
But it would get me a lot of the way there.
Finally, that's what it'll take.
All right, so on paper, there's some funny stuff in this film. And I think some of the crap in it was actually funny. But
sure.
I think the way it was supposed to be good really didn't land on any level.
No, it's very, very poorly done in a lot of specific ways.
Yeah. So I'm going to try a different technique in this episode. I'm going to say a couple of things that I liked about the film first.
Mm.
And I think you're going to argue with me here, but
yes.
I believe I'm going to be right on this. Of the lead actor and most of the good guy squad, not all of them.
Mm. You're already losing me.
There's some pretty good acting.
Ooh.
Like I'm not saying good acting like nominated, but that guy is a far more capable actor than this movie deserves.
Boy.
Like, he moved well. He said his lines adequately. Like, I'm certainly,
so
like,
your definition of good acting is mobile.
You watched this movie, right?
Yeah.
Now, imagine how bad that guy should be.
He was up to the task. He was not good. He was fairly charmless.
For looking
like Michael Bolton, he should have had a lot more charm.
Incorrect, because he is Ersatz Jorah Marmont.
Fair enough, does he look like Sir Jorah. He's like the Jorah.
Yeah, no, I didn't think the acting was that bad. And again, if this was a movie that was good, uh-huh, I would never say that,
right?
But given how shitty this, okay, I'm gonna go to more things I like, but just to make the comparison, Brian Blessed with an eye patch that plays the lead German guy.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Orson Welles, who cut his own hair.
His accent couldn't be worse.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
very bad.
And that guy may be the worst actor I've ever seen in a movie.
Disagree. Within this own movie, he is undercut. Well, undercut is not the right word. He is
superseded?
Overshadowed. Yeah, yep. He is superseded. He's overshadowed by the one extra character. His reaction to the frozen body of Hitler, he is dead center when they pan across the crowd reacting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Okay.
That guy brings everyone so far down.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's pretending he doesn't exist. One-eyed Brian Blessed is just tremendously awful.
Yeah.
So in comparison to him, Ian, whatever his name is, Tyrannosaurus Dex,
his name was Duncan Jax.
Duncan Jax.
Duncan Jax off.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's high-fiving.
It was fucking awesome. I was trying to find some way to fit a Duncan Yo-Yo reference in there, and it did not happen. He wasn't that bad at acting. His acting should have been as shitty as Eye Patch Guy's. The other good thing about this, although I'm going to counteract this later, but I don't want to give that anecdote yet, special effects were pretty good.
Well, yeah, certainly the physical effects.
Yeah, whatever you call the physical. Right. Yeah, yeah. Like the explosions look good. The stunts look. Yeah. I mean,
it was a well stunted film.
Yeah, yeah, and most of the movie was stunts, so that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I was pretty bored by the various chase scenes that happened in every variety.
It did feel like a demo reel for a stunt company or something.
Mm.
Like, here's what we can bring you: falling from this explosion.
Yeah,
falling from this explosion.
And I think I had one more.
That's surprising.
The gadgets, as dumb as a conceit as it was.
No.
Yeah.
Hard disagree. Yeah, no.
But again, this is more goes to the physical effects. I thought they looked good.
Okay.
Like that shooting the grapple thing out of the little box.
Yeah.
That could look terrible. That actually looked like a grapple was shot out of a box. Like,
yeah, that's a pretty low bar.
No, but this movie, you should have seen it being dropped from the ceiling and the film being played backwards. You know, okay. Like
fair enough. If that's your bar, that's what I'm saying. Enough.
Like,
okay.
The chopping the guy's head off with it was pretty all right. Yeah. Like, my bar was not very high. I just, there's a couple things I'm like, oh, wow, the competency that happened here is rather shocking. And that's it.
Yeah, that would be more than enough, I think.
So, I mean, I guess we should just start from the beginning here.
Right. So, the movie opens with old newsreel footage of Hitler, just to let you know that Hitler's dead. And then we go to...
Switzerland.
Oh, right. Yes. Because there's... Oh, man. So, there are so many shots in this movie that go on for so long.
Oh, I didn't notice.
In terms of not like expert, like one take kind of thing, but like you used all of that. Like that when we first are introduced to the female character, before that, there's this huge long panning shot from the tops of these trees down to this tree-lined highway that the main character is driving through. And it is so interminable. Like it just keeps going.
It's as long as the driveway scene in the original Solaris.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. So it's this slow shot through a window to the International Science Awards.
Oh, boy.
Where Dr. Brinkman?
I'll tell you the truth. I didn't get anybody's name except for the people that's names describe their activities, which we meet in the second half of the film.
Yeah, the mercenaries. But no, this guy's, it's like Brinkman or Venkman. I couldn't tell.
It sounded like Venkman to me because I kept thinking of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, so I think it's something close to that. But it's Dr. like Brinkman Jr. So he's accepting this horrible looking trophy, this school participation trophy for
in
science.
In someone's living room. Yeah. I mean, the outside, the establishing shot just looks like a nice, like an upper middle class backyard.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the sets in this movie when we get there. But so he wins an award for lasers. Not like laser technology, just lasers.
I think it was achievements in lasers.
Most lasers.
Yeah.
So he wins an award, and while he's accepting the award, ninjas break in, and the Swiss army, I guess.
I didn't see any knives.
That's true. They had guns. Okay, they had Swiss army guns. So the Swiss try to fight off the ninjas, and the action in that is terrible. Like, there's one point where a guy falls down before he's even shot. Like, the Foley is off. At first, I thought it was the video I was watching was lagging or something, but no, it's just badly
done. I'm glad
you
said that, because for most of this movie, I kept thinking that the sync of the audio was off the entire time. But then I realized, like, no, their mouths are on.
No, there's
it's
some
just
terrible...
all the other stuff. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's some Popeye Foley going on, like the very, very old Popeye cartoons where he would just like walk around going like,
oh, yes.
You know, muttering to himself.
Yes.
And there's tons of that with people screaming and whatever, but their mouths aren't actually moving. But I did very much enjoy the visual. So to kidnap this laser professor, they strap him into a helicopter shows up.
Oh, that was so weird.
And this, by the way, going back to the Seagal episode when we were talking about IMDb being full of just weirdos, the one goof I found for this movie on IMDb was that, well, they're supposed to be in Switzerland, but the helicopter, the number on the helicopter is an American number. The registration is American.
Oh, it's boy.
Like, really? That's your takeaway from this?
Somebody probably got fired for that goof.
Yeah. But so anyway, this helicopter shows up and they harness a guy to the helicopter, and the ninjas harnessing him get shot. And then they just slowly raise this guy up. And he is so just... He's not fighting it. He's not concerned.
So
he's just like dead body Bleh.
Now, I had already stopped paying attention a little bit to the movie because we're about 7 minutes in and I'm already realizing what's going on. I thought, oh, is he dead? Because he is so still.
He's just lifeless.
A major mistake has happened and we've already passed it. I need to point it out because it keeps showing back up. This goes back to, this is what I thought you were going to say. This goes back to Sniper Special Ops and some Suicide Squad stuff. The guys with balaclavas, aka ninjas, come through the window. Then they come to stage front and start shooting over the heads of the audience to make them shut up. That's where the conspirators are if the scene was established. So they're shooting directly at their co-conspirators. The scene composition makes zero sense.
Yes.
And that sounds like a small thing to not complain about, except it happens every fucking time they fire a gun in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of just, what's happening? Where is that going?
I'm not even getting to the confusing ones. No, they establish, like, John and I right now are sitting across the table from one another. Mm-hmm. It would be, like, shot from our right, me pointing a gun at John. Then they cut to a shot of just me pulling the trigger, and then cut back and John's not there anymore, or he's fine. And it's like, what?
And I'm not reacting at all to it.
Yeah, it's just the first of many.
Yeah.
But that would have been like, oh boy, this is not done well.
Yeah, so they kidnap this guy, and then we cut to this car pulling up. And this already, I was talking about the shots going on for way too long. This is a great example. This car pulls up to this building. I guess it's supposed to be a bank or something. And these Sultan-looking guys get out. And it is a good solid minute of them just exiting the car and walking into the building. And that's when I knew we're screwed.
Yeah.
Like, this is not good.
Movie looked like it was just trying to make 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's just so much padding.
Minutes. Yeah.
And they walk in. So the Sultan guys walk into the building and down this nondescript hallway to like a closet with a key code. And they put in the key code. They walk in and the main Sultan dude looks at centerpiece with a golden box under a jar, and he takes off the jar and, oh, there's diamonds in there. And he gives this little speech about those museums. They wanted these diamonds.
Those infidels at the museum dared to think they could keep them from me.
Right. There you go. I could not tell if that guy was wearing a fat suit or like had pillows stuffed in his thing, because that he did not look naturally that big.
I couldn't figure that out either.
But it was distracting. Yeah.
I think because he's wearing a Arabian robe, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever
traditional Arabian dress.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I couldn't tell if he's pumped up that way or just maybe like the AC was under him. Because it just,
he was billowy.
Billowy. Yeah. Yeah. In an awkward way that you couldn't quite put your, like he was a large gentleman. I am going to let the audience in a little bit here. This movie, there was a lot of stuff that didn't make a hell of a lot of sense. And almost like maybe they should have just reshot some things.
No.
But that didn't happen.
Well, speaking of things that make no sense, that. So
Well, you mean how the infidels of the museum dared to think they'd keep them from me?
So he just like goes and marvels at his diamonds and then immediately leaves. And it cuts to his figure staring at him through a vent.
Yeah.
Through this giant vent.
Giant vent.
And it was very awkwardly done. Also during this time, fantastic synth work. The soundtrack for this movie. There's this constant pew, pew,
wah,
of
wah,
synths
wah,
that just play constantly.
Yeah, yeah. It's
vent opens. It's our hero, Duncan Jacks, ready to get those diamonds. We don't know. I'm assuming that the movie pretends that you know who Duncan Jacks is, because it just is like, here's this guy. We're going to assume that you like him.
I wish we had known that this was a second part, because a lot of the stuff I'm confused by, I wonder if it's explained in the first, but I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess not.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just go with it's equally mysterious.
Yeah. And so he climbs out. He decides he's going to, you know, he's there to steal those diamonds.
Yeah.
So he puts on these sunglasses.
Oh, and he makes a show of putting on those sunglasses.
Yeah, that show the laser protection system, the laser literal grid. It's just a grid of lasers. There's not like Catherine Zeta-Jones, Entrapment, got a duck under thing.
Wait, do you think those glasses showed the lasers?
That was, I think, the intention.
Okay, because they established the lasers before he put the glasses on.
Oh, I thought you could only see them before you...
Oh, maybe I got that wrong. Because I was very confused by why he was wearing glasses indoors.
Well, because it's also very dark in there.
Yeah.
And he puts them on to see the lasers. And then makes a big awkward show of stepping over the lasers. Because it's shot like... Because there's no budget and they shot in a very tiny room. The camera is just low shooting up at him. And so you see him go through this huge awkward thing of like lifting up his legs, like with his hands.
Yeah. Like Department of Silly Walk style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you could just step over them and it's not that big of a deal.
We really need, if you didn't watch this movie, John is very understating, saying it's not that big of a deal. I mean, you could just walk, and I'm not saying you'd get through every time, but you could probably accidentally not hit those lasers. Yeah. I mean, there are huge gaps between them.
So he gets to the diamonds, takes off his sunglasses, because why wouldn't you? Lifts off the jar, gets the diamonds, and then knocks the sunglasses off, which trips the lasers.
Yeah.
So he has to switch to plan B, which is to punch everyone, which he does.
And he makes one of those noises, I'm glad you pointed out, because he goes, noise when he drops the glasses. It is...
our hero, ladies and gentlemen.
Just this combination of pathetic and just baffling why that noise... Just it is really awkward.
In the escape, this is when we are introduced to Boom, which is the baboon, his baboon sidekick. So he's escaping from them. Yeah. And he gets up to the roof where he's like, start the engine. And it cuts to this baboon wearing a tux. And he's got like an ornithopter? Some kind of glider. I don't know what it is. And sure enough, like starts the engine.
Yeah.
And then he and the baboon escape. And then we have the opening credits. That was supposed to be the exciting intro.
They introduce the macaque. Like, they were just supposed to understand this. Like, this is just a normal thing. Which, I can't imagine that the first movie even explains it away. But that's weird. So... we get to the credits. Here, I have lots of questions on the credits. That's how bad this movie was. Why did it introduce someone? Did that used to mean something in credits? Because it said, and introducing.
You know, because sometimes it'll do that if it's, you know, like a child actor or a dog. But this is just a person.
A human.
Yeah.
And Flo Hyman as Spike.
Okay.
No, see, we both looked it up, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Okay. Because that is the worst, as far as James Bond stuff, that's like the worst Bond woman name.
Yeah.
Flo Hyman. That is Jerry Lewis's James Bond, his love interest.
Yeah, Flo but Hyman.
Flo Hyman kicks ass. Like, she was this was a volleyball star, like in the Olympics, and then just like died suddenly.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about her.
I said that like that was a list of things that's awesome, is dying suddenly.
She rocks. And then, you know.
She did what I hope to do someday.
Her nickname in this film is Spike.
Is Spike.
Now, do you think it's because she stabs people? Because all the other of her cohorts have names based on the things. Or is it because she's a volleyballist?
Let's not jump the gun. But she did actually get that nickname from volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her real name is Flo Hyman.
It's Flo Hyman.
I looked it up thinking, this movie's so dumb that they would name a human being Flo Hyman. Nope. That, like, what idiot movie would ever go that far? No, that's a real
person's name.
Real person's and name.
She was apparently pretty all right.
Yeah, well, rest in peace, Flo Hyman. I'm only going to hear.
Yeah, but that's...
Flo Hyman, or it's just a really, really, really butch lesbian rapper.
That would also work.
That's when we get introduce people. The bad guy, Baron von Tepish.
Well, before we get to Baron von Tepish, we get to the aftermath where he lands the plane at this posh estate. And again, because I don't know if this was explained in the first movie, this is apparently his boss's estate. I thought it was his dad. Because they're having this posh party and they're like, oh, we only try to have a party during the day. There's all this weird external dialogue that's like explaining stuff. And then they see him land, and it cuts to, it's one of those where the party's clearly at night, and then it cuts to day for night shots where it's clearly light out, but they're just trying to make it look dark. And so it's vastly, the two shots are vastly different, but they're like, oh no, and looking at him and look at this plane land, because he's a loose cannon that plays by his own rules.
Yeah.
And he shows up, and I swear, I thought, I'm like, is he your dad? Because you guys kind of have similar accents. He shows up and he gives his boss dad the diamonds. And it's like, the Smithsonian's going to be happy about this. Brr. And he's got the monkey in tow the entire time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then they just go inside and everyone in the party's like, oh my, who was that? So the next day, Duncan Jax is driving to visit his boss to get his next mission. Driving his Mercedes down a tree-lined highway with that baboon.
Yeah.
And almost hits a woman on a horse, as you often do. And they just look at each other and they're like, huh, that happened. The baboon pretends to give her the finger. That happens a lot. The baboon does one of those things where it slaps its hand on its bicep. It's like, up yours, buddy. Because someone's taught the baboon to do that.
Yeah.
And it does that. And then the lady rides away. again in a shot that's way too long. Then we move on, and Duncan finds out about his next mission from his boss, Star, I believe is his name. So basically, there's some leftover Nazi that has some machinations, and he's the one behind kidnapping this laser guy. So go check him out.
Now, we're about to introduce the lady, mm-hmm. right? We're about there. Okay. Who is that guy that he's talking to, his dad? Who does he work for? And what country are we in? Yeah,
exactly. It is just a spy organization.
So
they work for
spy. I can't. Their accent. So his dad sounds English.
His name is quote Chuck Bibby Starr, and it's listed on Wikipedia, head of spy agency.
Okay,
that's all it says. Not like spy, like it's an acronym for something cool. It's just spy. Like he's the head of whatever agency Duncan Jax works for.
Okay, so we just, it's country.
It's Charlie from Charlie's Angels. Like, who does Charlie work for?
But at least I knew that was America.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Asked and answered. I
never really saw Charlie's
Angels.
Because
there's a reference later, like he's talking on the radio, his CB that he has hidden in his cigar case, to someone, and they're talking about their allies. So presumably America. I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird because this movie has a faint whiff of Canada on it.
Yeah.
That I can't quite put my finger on, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was a Toronto production.
No, it's American.
Yeah.
It's American. You know who directed it?
I don't know. Some asshole.
Worth Keeter, who went on to direct all these Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and all these offshoots of that.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes a lot of the action make a lot more sense
okay.
in this movie.
Yeah, I looked this up because it said he directed Ghost Dog, colon, something.
Yeah, not that, not
yeah.
the good one.
And it went, no fucking way! Ghost Dog, you know, The Hound Dog's Revenge or something like that. It was actually literally a ghost dog.
So once Duncan finds out his next mission, Star introduces him to this woman, Tiffany Youngblood, who's going to be helping him out on this mission, who is the woman on the horse.
Yes.
And they have this moonlighting back and forth to build tension. And she delivers a line of dialogue that I absolutely don't understand because she's already making fun of him. It was like, oh, I've heard of you before. Like, oh, all good. Yes, you can imagine how disappointed I am. Oh, okay, that's a sick burn.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, we should probably get together and talk about the meetings. Like, I could do a lunch. And she goes, should I swab myself with disinfectant first or am I fine here? It's like, well, you just, I don't understand that disc. That just made it sound like you're gross, not him. Come on, lady.
I hated her a lot.
Yeah, she's not good.
Because here's the thing is, you said a back and forth, and no, she just walked in and like Jeffrey Ross, the fucking Roastmaster General on him. She just had, jokes and she was just being mean and he wasn't responding. He was just going like, all right.
Because this guy sucks.
But still,
I can't stress enough how much he looks like Michael Bolton. He really, I mean, like your Jorah Mormont thing is right on, but someone looked at like all the James Bonds and went, can we get a guy that's kind of attractive with like just the most receding hairline?
Yeah.
It's really upsetting.
Oh, you know what? I realized here's the joke. You should call him Jorah Marmoset because he's got a marmoset with him.
There you go.
Yeah. Here is a direct quote from the movie. When in doubt, cut a mandrel making mouth fart. So that's a quote from this dumb shit director.
They do a lot of at the beginning, a lot of reaction shots of the thing, like pretending to give you the finger or going like, or felt like I'm angry at this monkey, but then I started to be like, no, that's not right. I should be mad at the person that trained him to do this.
Well, that was after the sick burns that the lady was giving him, that the monkey started doing mouth farts. The golden tamarin.
Right. I love this. It's a shot of a map as we're going to go to where the villains are. We go to the shot of the map of South America and it just says South America.
Yeah.
And then it zooms in on a country.
Yeah.
Possibly Brazil, but it's just South America. That's all you need to know. And it's a minor thing, but it felt like a Ninja Gaiden game or something like that, you know, where it's just like,
where the map
who needs geography? It doesn't matter.
I think they did that because this is something I was wondering later in the film. I think they did that just so it can be South America because I'm pretty sure most of the cowboy scenes and the kind of secondary tertiary characters are super racist because they are all acting like Mexican gangster types.
Yeah.
So I guess if you say South America, it kind of, you're not insulting one specific country.
Right. Every country can be like, oh, well, that's this other country. Yeah, yeah. You know the one.
I don't think they put any kind of thought like that into it. It just, no. That's the only thing I could come up with.
But that's when we are introduced to...
Baron von Tepish?
Baron Ernst von Tepish.
Yeah. No. Do you know off the top of your head where Tepish comes from?
No.
Vlad Tepish. That's Dracula's. That's Vlad the Impaler. Yeah. That's Tepish.
More like Ernst von Tepid.
Oh, I get it. It's so weird how we could reach across this table and high five quickly.
Well, when the jokes are that good, yeah. You're just propelled out of your seat.
I cannot tell you how much I hate when people use last names like that to try to give like some kind of gravitas something that doesn't have it. Like,
so that, like Fraser Crane sitting in the office going like, I get it. Yeah.
But except it's in this movie and no one's ever going to do that.
Well, this movie, there are several parts in this movie where the movie really condescends to you, even though it's dumber than you are. Frozen Hitler. We'll get to that. That's mainly what I'm, and I'll bring that up back up later. We see all the Nazi stuff happening, like there's a camp and these dudes marching around, and then we get inside the temple that I guess that their base is in, and it is is this thing built out of cardboard?
Yeah,
it's the sets are so bad. The sets are brought to you by Mrs. Bergstrom's third grade class. Like, it's really bad. And then the hallways just look like that. And then the Dr. Kurtz, one of the head Nazi guys, he walks into what looks like the set from Legends of the Hidden Temple. I don't know if you remember that old Nickelodeon show. Yeah. Where Tepish is having dinner. Tepish is this giant Orson Welles looking guy with a bowl haircut. And I don't mean it looks like he cut his own hair basically. And like his bangs are all screwed up. And he has this huge beard that's clearly covering his gigantic dewlap. As someone who kind of has facial hair to cover up a second chin, to give the illusion of a chin, his was so massive that I couldn't help think that it's only just highlighting it. I couldn't stop thinking about how massive that must be.
It's a terrible beard. It reminded me, I was calling him Brian Blessed, but same concept, Orson Welles. And can we just...
More like Orson Swells. Nailing it.
What? His accent could not be worse.
It's very bad.
Holy shit.
It's very cartoonish.
No, cartoons do better. He just wantonly, like, just V's and W's mean nothing because Germans, I think I remember something about Germans with a V, so I'll just make it up.
Yeah.
I don't say this often. I could do a better job than him.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to act. I frankly can't do a very good German accent, but I could do a better job than that guy. He sucked. He was
supremely terrible.
Yeah.
And that scene just did nothing else other than to go like, hey, I'm setting up we're going to have, I believe he called them all the directors of the new order are going to show up. So all these top Nazi guys are going to show up. And then we get back to, that's basically Doug and Jax's inn, because Star then tells, like, goes back to the good guys, and Star tells him that basically you're going to get in because you look like this Nazi. You look very much like this Nazi.
Yeah.
So we've apparently taken him out of the picture. So you're going to go and pretend to be him, and young blood's going to come in with you, pretend to be this other Nazi woman. And in doing so, she's going to wear the world's largest glasses.
Those are some big fucking
those
glasses.
Those are some seriously 80s glasses.
Yeah.
And they do, but before that, we have the gearing up scene with the gadgets. Their version of Q is an Asian man named Saito. He presents all the gadgets like you would in a James Bond thing, but it's done so badly. There's barely any like little jokes about it. There's just, he shows something and then Duncan Jax goes, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
One of his inventions is a belt with a throwing star in it.
And it's not, when I said earlier that the gadgets were right, that was not the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
There's a lot of monkey reaction shots in that one. So if you're a fan of that, this is your scene. He has a lighter that also shoots an explosive.
Yeah.
He has
the grapple cigarette case.
Yes, it's a cigarette case that you could buy at any retail store, which I like that explanation.
That was a great line.
That just felt very weird. That it turns into like a grappling thing or whatever, shoots a tensile steel or something. The aforementioned throwing star belt, a thing that offers 6 minutes of oxygen. And my favorite bit is when Duncan has something in his hands. It's like a bolo tie. And he goes, you're not going to make me wear a tie, are you? While he's actually wearing a tie. But it's a bolo tie, and the bolo things will cut steel.
Yeah.
But just like that, like you're already wearing a tie. If you could say like, I don't like bolo ties or something, but no, it's just, you're not going to make me wear a tie. That was their like clever James Bond quip.
Yeah. You know, I think the reasoning behind that is that this movie was written really poorly.
Yeah. No,
I don't know. Did that occur to you?
I didn't think about that, but yeah. When you bring it up now.
Because like before they made this movie, they did a thing called a script. And what they did wrong there was all of it.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And they're like, oh, you know, instead of writing good words here, we put bad words here.
Yeah.
And then this movie happened.
So also our hero, our erstwhile hero, his big skill, his big James Bond skill is looking like a Nazi. That's it so far. Is that he just looks Aryan. Great.
Yeah, that's awkward on a lot of levels.
Yeah, so they get there, and the whole big like test of their cover is this Nazi with horrible teeth greets them at the airport, the landing strip or whatever.
Oh, I fucking hated this scene so much.
This Willem Dafoe looking guy, and he says, oh, I think the guy's name is Blade, who he's pretending to be. He's like, oh, I saw you at the rally in Atlanta in 81, and then Duncan covers... goes like, oh, no, that was great. We had a great turnout. But I think you're thinking that rally was in 82. And then Youngblood is like, oh, yeah, the one you're thinking of was in 81. And it doesn't seem like this test that they were trying to catch him, they just made him look like a dick. And not that I'm against that for making Nazis look stupid, but the guy was just like, yeah, fuck you guys. I'm trying to be nice.
Okay, but I think you're missing the larger point. When was there a Nazi rally in Atlanta?
82.
No, there wasn't.
Not that you know of.
All right. I mean, I guess, because here's the thing. That's going to be some small-ass fucking party. Like, that was just weird.
Yeah, that was...
Because we're not in an alternate... Like, they still lost the war in this movie. This isn't an alternate future with the Nazi one.
Yeah.
Why pick Atlanta?
My immediate thought was the that Seinfeld, where George pretends to be a guy to get a limo from the airport and ends up being a white supremacist.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic Seinfeld movie. But that's all I thought of for that. They go get introduced to everyone else. They have the big meeting, and they're introduced to what Tepish calls their best Nazi fighter.
Oh God.
General Stryker.
Oh, he couldn't be worse.
And I'm with that hair. You're not the best Aryan guy with that hair.
He's okay. One, he's kind of gingery. Two.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this in, he kind of looks a little Jewish.
That's what I'm,
I mean. Not like, I don't know how to say this without coming across awful, but like, that's not a perfect Aryan.
If you're looking for a perfect Aryan, I feel like you missed, like, you probably had a low pool.
Yeah. Like, even, like, our lead actor looks more Aryan than their perfect Aryan. That guy was really, and that guy sucked at acting.
Yeah. We can generally say that across the board, but I think it's fair to bring it up constantly because it will never not be true.
Well, because I was saying Jorah Marmoset isn't that bad, so I'm just putting other people that are worse than
that's
him.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he introduces them to his sort of general plot, which is to...
Oh, is that the guy with the three stars? General plot?
Ugh.
Hey-o.
Worth it. I had to think about it, but then I'm glad I did it. His general plot, which is, so he's stolen this laser guy to make a... I forget what they call it.
The photon beam.
The photon beam.
Oh, wait, sorry. That actually sounded vaguely German. I take that back. Well, you go now, I'm making myself a photon beam. I'm from Auschwitz.
His demonstration is to have them look at a picture of stars, which is apparently a view of space.
Oh,
and it's like, look at next to the Milky Way or whatever.
Stop reminding me of scenes I forgot about. Oh, God, this movie.
And then something just blows up.
No, because they pointed out, they go, this is a communication satellite. People in America won't be having their HBO tonight.
Yeah. That's because they blow it up. They're like, what was that? And it's like, oh, it's just harmless communication stuff.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, here. Americans won't be able to watch their HBO. Here's just a giant, giant issue. Okay. America isn't run by Jewish people.
Yeah.
Why are the Nazis focused on destroying America?
Well, let me get in the mind of a Nazi a second. I think it's just payback. I think it's just world domination. Take down the big superpowers and then you...
But
you
know? If you're a Nazi, keep yourself in this mindset of being a Nazi.
No problem.
And you've just destroyed a satellite, or you have the opportunity to destroy a satellite. Why not, let's say, an Israeli satellite?
Well, I think this was just a show. Like, that was the whole goal, I think, was to destroy all these satellites. But this was just the, like, let's just show you a demonstration of our power. But for the people.
But why demonstrate on something that isn't directly the one you're against? It's sorry. I'm overly.
No, it's dumb. But I think the idea is to.
No, the idea is that you fight against America, bad guys fight America, and those people suck at writing movies.
Well, yeah, basically.
Sorry.
But it's just, you're gonna hit a non-consequential target. Before you hit the big ones. Hey, so I don't know how many Jewish satellites there are.
And the correct answer is it's because Jews run Hollywood.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. I forgot about that. But then they go to the big reveal, which is that Tepish has cryogenically frozen his mentor, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Now, presumably until they find a cure for being shot in the head with your own gun?
No.
Or were they just alleging that he didn't do it at all? He just, the suicide thing was a cover.
This is based on one of the many conspiracy theories that Hitler escaped. That's why it's in South America. Hitler escaped to Argentina and lived out his life.
Okay.
So this is, I think they're working off of that, and that as he was dying of old age or something else, they put him in cryogenic stasis.
And so you seem, and it's as shitty as most of these sets are, I kind of liked it because it's just this smoke-filled room with this corrugated tube in the middle with all these other tubes connecting to it, just floating there. And that's where Hitler is. And the Hitler cryogenic thing looks like he's made out of cake.
It is.
He looks like frosting.
It is one of the worst puppets I've ever seen.
It's so bad. Ever.
I mean, it does. He looks like he's made of fondant.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Buddy Valestra, the cake boss, was standing next to it, putting his mustache on.
Well, what's great also is so you see the cryogenic corpse of Hitler, and then it shows you overlaid that newsreel footage of Hitler.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, that Hitler.
Well, here's the thing is I actually thought that was somewhat clever. Only because it hid, because it was over the face of the terrible puppet,
I think
that it hid the puppet a little bit.
That was the idea behind it. But it did, I was talking about it condescending to you. Like, yeah, I know who Hitler is.
No, but here's just the thing is, so hiring Buddy Valestra, the cake boss, to make you a cake Hitler.
Fondant Hitler. Yeah.
It's expensive. But even just making a puppet is expensive.
Yeah.
Why not just find a guy that looks vaguely like Hitler? Lay him in there, put the dumb mustache on.
Yeah.
And then when you need, you know, let's not spoil it, but when he shows back up at the end, then you can build the, why have the establishing shot that looks so terrible? Literally, you just need a guy to lay down there that looks vaguely just any white dude.
Yeah.
You slick the hair to the side, put a dumb mustache on. He kind of looks a little Hitler-y.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's a very bizarre choice because he does, he looks like cake. It was ridiculous.
Really bad.
And then, as I mentioned, so there's this shot of everyone reacting to seeing Hitler, all these people in their Nazi uniforms reacting to Hitler. And there's this one guy in the center of everyone that just has the worst mugging. Like, it's just so this gaping mouth surprise that no one went, why don't you dial that down, Dale?
I'm going to correct you a little bit here.
What?
You're incorrect. The lady to his right is worse because that lady actually has her mouth agape. But you it's like her mouth is agape in a way that your jaw's getting tired from being at the dentist too long, where it's just, she is just locked in, her mouth being open. There's no emotion, just this, boy. Yeah, but I know the guy you're talking about, but I was voting for the lady next to him because she, woof.
So, okay, so yeah, so we see that, and then he and Youngblood are like, holy shit, it's Hitler.
Yeah.
And they, then they're escorted to their rooms for the night and locked in as guests, as directors of the new order. Tepish locks them all in their room.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's true.
Because they're out of their Nazi garb and are put on their black spy gear.
Which, by the way, looks so much different than what Nazis wore.
Right. Yeah. And then what I love is, so they're locked in, but there's a keypad on the inside of the cell as well.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. We left out a crucial moment when they're introduced to their living quarters, to the cell, before their meeting. He makes some crack about them having to bunk together. And then she's like, oh, separate rooms. She finds they're adjoining rooms.
Yeah.
So she goes in there and it's, oh, his romantic thing is thwarted. And she immediately shows back up and they make out.
That was really
weird.
Like,
there's just no real interplay between them. It's just, oh, yeah, no, this is what we do now.
Now, here's something to bring up. That feels like something was cut from the film. However, there's no way they didn't use every second of footage they shot for this movie.
Yeah, it is
so
clearly
I don't
evident.
Know what happened there.
They wrote a terrible script. They made a very, very bad movie.
That's even worse than normal for this movie. Yeah. Yeah, that was really weird.
It was very unfortunate. The device from Sato I left out. Sato gives him this giant plastic thing with a wristband, and he goes, oh, is this for my retirement? And I guess that was supposed to be a joke about it being a watch or something.
Yeah.
But later it turns out it's a computer thing, and he uses it to override the key code thing. So he gets out, they get out, and immediately get captured.
Yeah.
Like, they go to where the laser thing is being done, but they're immediately taken over. Tepish knew who they were the whole time. He takes Youngblood away and then throws Jax down a tube. It's the coolant, the reactor, the reactor coolant goes. They're going to drown him rather than just shoot him, because it's a James Bond movie. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
The reactor coolant chamber fortunately has these man-sized holes where the water drains out, but they're covered by poles, and he uses his bolo tie thing to cut them out and escapes. And where he's then encounters a couple Nazis, notice he's escaping, and then there's the dirt bike chase.
Yeah.
Which felt like, because this movie was done in 86, so Jedi had come out. So this feels like the Return of the Jedi chasing, the speeder chase scene.
Now, did you hear the greatest quote from a Nazi ever about to go on a motorcycle chase?
What's that?
Leibowitz, come with me. Huh. That's what one of the motorcycle guys screams, where it's, really? Leibowitz? I guess that could be a German name, but you would think you'd probably choose something less, you know?
Yeah. Leibowitz, yeah.
Saul, Cohen. Really, just
Moisha.
Yeah, get over here. It's really awful.
Moisha the Nazi.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the people was Stryker, which I didn't realize till the end of the chase.
They didn't establish that at all.
Yeah. So there's this, and it's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing that special about it. He uses the retail cigarette case to cut off a guy's head, sets a trap for him. But yeah, it's just, nothing special there.
Yeah, good enough, you know, stunt work, man.
And then he escapes by driving into a river. Basically.
Yeah.
And blowing up Stryker, using his cigarette lighter to blow up Stryker, and then runs into, in the middle of the jungle, just runs into someone he knows.
Now, I wasn't sure about that. Did he just run into her, or was she sent by his dad stroke boss?
That's a good question. I'm going to guess that just ran into, because later the mercenaries are asking about dad stroke boss. He might have had something to do with it, I guess. It's not very clear. We'll put it that way. Before the scene happens, though, we get a scene of the mercenaries that's unrelated to anything else in the movie thus far and is sort of oddly placed, where it's this group of people having a card game. Just in this shanty town. There are stakes, apparently, and this Mexican bandito guy with some shit on his face.
South American bandito guy.
Sure. This guy, like, is some kind of scar on his face, thinks someone else is cheating, pulls a gun, and Spike, the aforementioned Flo Hyman, stabs him, throws a knife at him, and kills him, and then they all laugh about it. And that's it. It was just very ill placed.
Was that the one where they set up one of them has a parrot, or is that the next scene with them?
I believe that is that scene.
Okay, yeah, because that was one of the scenes where the parrot says something poignant about the scene. I don't remember what it said, where it's just like one of those, ugh. So you can explain what this is. The lady at the bar, after beating up the Mexican stereotype, says he thought he was at a Shriners convention.
Yeah, I did not get that line. Also,
Shriners drive around with the fezzes and the tiny cars and like help hospitals.
And I have no idea. What that has to do with poker.
I don't understand. Yep. Okay,
no,
good.
That's one of those.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad that happened.
So it turns out this woman that he meets, it was Maxie Ryder.
Yes, Maxie Ryder.
Maxie Ryder, who is apparently he's worked with in the past. I don't know if this is from the first movie, which is called Unmasking the Idol.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she's being introduced in this movie. I doubt she was in the first one.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
By the way, Maxie Ryder is really great when you have a Flo Hyman.
So they know each other, and she takes him to meet this band of mercenaries who are still sitting in the same place playing poker. And we find out that they all have nicknames. There's Hammer, who's a big black guy that punches
stuff. That's the guy that hammers stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
There's Bolt, which
you find out later, because he's very like shifty about it. He's like, no, just like lightning bolt. No, just Bolt. Turns out he has a crossbow.
Yeah.
There's Cowboy, who has six shooters in his own theme song. For some reason.
Yes.
I don't know. He read like Lou Reed being a cowboy. It didn't...
Yeah. Awkward casting there.
Yeah. You have SD, Special Delivery.
Yes.
Who's the explosives expert, who you later see delivers the explosives by throwing them.
Yes.
Specially. And then one of my least favorite characters, Juice, who I guess has that nickname because he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out.
Which, how fucked up are you that that's your special power? You're in this, you're just all this specialized guy, and this guy likes heroin a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you have got to be really, really bottom of the barrel of your addiction if that's your nickname in a special ops thing.
Yeah. Hammer's badass. Like, I wish that guy was in more, like, he is such a great 80s looking badass. Yeah. Like, I wish, I hope he's in like 8 more shitty movies.
But I'm always a fan of the punchy guy that they decide is strong. Like, yeah. He looks like one of those guys that's like always wearing a weight belt.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, whether or not he needs it.
Yeah, no, he looks like he was going to be in the semifinals in Over the Top.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The arm wrestling movie with Stallone.
He is one of those round African hats away from being a WWE villain.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that guy's the best. Oh, I just want him in every movie.
So he meets them, and I forget how Star gets back involved, but Star shows up. Oh, because they catch a bus back to this place. That's their grand escape plan.
Yeah, which one's Star again?
Star's the boss dad.
Oh, yeah, boss dad. Okay. Yeah.
Because the mercenaries, Hammer's like, well, who's paying for it? Because he recruits all the mercenaries to come help him fight the Nazis. He's like, well, who's paying for it? He's like, oh, this guy. And so they decided, well, we're really going to protect Star then. And then because they killed that guy earlier in the poker game, his brother shows up.
Is that what happened? I totally missed this part.
Who also has a bunch of crap on his face. Like, I'm legitimately concerned for what's wrong with his family.
I think they're Siamese twins connected at the cheek.
That must be it. Yeah. Because then there's just this pointless action scene. Oh, but before the pointless action scene starts, the other bandidos show up to revenge their lost brethren. And to get around this, Duncan Jax comes out waving a brassiere on a stick, like a white flag, has his jumpsuit zipped down like to his belly button, and is totally doing like the Bugs Bunny transvestite kind of voice. This very awful... Fellas, hello.
Yeah.
Sorry, we give up. I don't understand why.
What the actual fuck?
Yeah. What the plan was? Yeah. It's, and then when they're confused because they're all making kissy faces at him.
Yeah.
He's like, now, and then they all attack.
I don't get what that was.
No, it was just weirdly offensive.
Did he stuff his bra?
No, he's not wearing a bra.
So he's just.
Pretending to be gay to confuse these people.
I am, and then their kissy that was inexplicable.
Yeah, so I don't know if the own was like, he's pretending to be gay and secretly all minorities are gay, so see how they react. Like, I don't understand what the gimmick behind it was. They're like, oh, the concept of someone being gay is so laughable. We're just gonna be too busy making fun of you to notice that you're trying to kill us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It
was just really dumb.
Flummoxed by that.
Yeah. So there's this pointless action, like spaghetti Western action scene where people are shooting and falling off of roofs.
Oh, and
again,
Hammer, being the best guy ever, rips the door off the frame, holds it in front of Star, and then walks him over to the bus that they're escaping in because he's the guy with the money. Again, Hammer, best guy in this movie.
Yeah. There's a really bizarre scene where the truck gets stuck in mud. And then they all have to push the truck out of the mud, and it's like a school bus is what they're in. And they, all of them are behind it. They push the bus out, and then the bus just drives away into a ditch, and they sit and watch it do that.
Well, you missed the comedy here, and this was completely your fault. Yeah, yeah, this is totally on you. I can't believe how much of a fool you've been. See, this is really quite hilarious. Please follow me. See, first we see Duncan Jax pushing, and then other people are pushing, and you see they all slowly but surely. But then, this is where you're missing. The driver of the bus shows up to start pushing as well. And then the truck starts rolling away on its own without anybody driving. No, but what you missed the really hilarious part is one guy does a take and starts counting on his fingers while pointing at his compatriots like, 1, 2, 3, 9, but who's driving the bus face?
It's really quite
funny.
I was too busy praying for death.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that could have been better is if I got syphilis from a duck. I've already used that one. Black Howler was behind the wheel making a monkey noise.
Oh, no.
Wow. Thanks for the high five, John. I really appreciate that.
I don't know how to do that sound, but I take that one back.
I like that you did just try.
I did. I tried. John just
mimed in the air, tried to take a high five away, which is really beautiful.
It was more just for me than the listener. But so Yeah, so then that just pointlessly happened because the movie needed
because
a laugh
break,
because
they needed to get the 90 minutes.
Yeah. There's one scene, and I forget if this happens here, but there's a scene where it cuts back to Tepish having dinner just by, again, and you're just by himself. And he looks at the flag, and he kind of remembers being a Nazi. And then that's the scene.
Yeah.
It's just a reminder, like, I'm a Nazi, aren't I? Okay.
He loves sitting at a large table eating chicken. Because all there is one full chicken. And he said, you know that scene in Batman where Michael Keaton and the blonde lady are on two sides of the really long table and they're like, pass the salt. What? Pass the salt.
Yeah.
It's that long of a table, but it's just the fat guy who looks like Brian Blessed with the eye patch eating a full chicken. And he's not eating it, but that scene happens, I think I counted four times in the movie that he's sitting at that table with the chicken in front of him. Like, that's his whole life. Outside of Nazi-ing, he just loves to sit at a long table eating a full chicken.
But that scene in particular was just him looking at the flag and then, again, some newsreel footage played.
Yeah, why not?
And it was just like, hey, don't forget about this guy being a Nazi.
Yeah, you got to reminisce.
Yeah,
Well, the problem is you would forget because you've heard him speak and his accent is some kind of, I don't know, Ameri-British thing. I mean, nowhere near Germany.
So the mercenaries arrive and start shooting stuff. Then you get your big action scene of them raiding the camp. There's not really a plan around it. They're just going and getting. They're taking them out there.
Yeah, and now we're heading to the final conflict, right?
Yeah.
Is our band of mercenaries versus the Nazi camp.
Yeah, and they're storming the camp, which has my favorite scene. And this is Hammer, again, being awesome.
Yeah.
So a lot of the Nazis in the camp aren't armed, apparently.
Yeah, no
guns.
They're just
running at people.
Yeah.
Because Spike is just laying waste to these people. Because no one is coming at her with a gun. They're just running just at her.
Yeah.
They're like the worst guys in Russian attack. They're just coming at you.
And they also don't, like, try to punch.
No, they just come at you. Like, just touching them will hurt you. Yeah. Like an 80s video game. But, so Hammer is punching dudes. And, like, there's a scene. You don't even see what's leading up to it. You just see the shot of a tent. Hammer throws this guy over the tent. And the stuntman, he goes over the tent, lands, like flops, lands, head facing the tent. Then Hammer drives around on an ATV and then runs over the guy's head.
Oh, no, that's later.
No, that's
the end of the scene. I already have a note for that. That's at 133:20.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, that's during the escape.
Yeah. Though, actually, well, let's bring this up now because I need you to watch this because there's another part of that. So I guess you read the thing where that actually is an accident on set.
Well, when I was watching, I was like, there's no way that could – that's not a stunt that you plan.
Yeah.
Because I watched a couple times to make sure that it wasn't a dummy because he drives over the guy's head. And what's great about it is you hear this, ah! That's a foleyed-in scream before the thing even hits his head. Like,
there's an interview with that guy. It wasn't supposed to happen. And apparently he gunned it and tore most of his face off.
Holy God.
We're going to have to watch this together, John.
That's fine.
Watch his hand. Badass. Miss, 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 miss. Just got it in. There was 4 seconds of him fumbling with his gun to get it back in the holster. John, that's the badass gunslinger.
Oh, Cowboy's pretty great.
Yeah, okay
so
this
here we
is
go.
The spot. I thought we'd watch this together, yeah.
It flies over the tent. Hammer comes around.
Yeah.
The scream happens before. Oh, my God.
Okay, I just wanted to put those two together. So people at home, if you want, just go to YouTube. You don't have to watch the whole movie. Go to YouTube.
Please
go to 126, an hour 26, 10-ish. Yeah, so the guy that's the best at shooting guns. That was seriously 4 seconds of him fumbling, missing the holster. I was at work watching that over and over again, laughing. They set up for that, the run through with the three wheeler without the gun mount on the front, and that threw off the turning radius.
Huh.
So I don't think he was even supposed to have his head run over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just like how they.
Oh, yeah. They added the sploosh.
And the scream.
Yeah.
It was like, again, the closed mouth scream.
Yeah. There's also great. So here's some more great moments from this fight. Crossbow, bolt, shoots a guy in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
He falls. Second guy in the tower sees his friend fall and then immediately runs down the steps to see what's up and dies.
Yeah.
He doesn't check on his friend. He has no idea there's going to be attack, nothing. His friend fell. So it'd be like you and I hanging out at the bar. You fall off your stool and I go, oh, shit. And then just run outside to make sure no one's shooting.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... okay, this is probably too nitpicky, but no, it's just so weird.
It's that I've played a video game before, so that completely makes sense to me.
I don't play video games, and I was just like, this
no,
is...
No, like, that's like the way crappy AI would work. So you shoot that guy, and that guy's going to... Yeah.
I guess it is. Yeah, no, it's crappy
really,
AI.
It's really... But speaking of Bolt, one of the greatest things about this movie is the synth hit that happens whenever Bolt fires a crossbow. It's like this... Pew, pew! Regardless, because he'll shoot different kinds of crossbows. Some are explosive, some are just bolts.
Yeah.
But it's always a pew!
It's pretty amazing. The soundtrack in this was one of the saving graces of this movie.
Which is an interesting thing as we get to the final showdown. When the big final destroying the thing happens, there's no music at all.
I don't think
It seems like you could be building tension doing that.
Yeah.
It's like they just ran out of music. They're like the spigot had run dry.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're out. We can't possibly do it. Because they attack the base and Duncan Jax gets in. He has a confrontation with Tepish that is just dumb. Because he gets Tepish and Tepish gets the drop on him. He's going to the dinner table basically to get Tepish, but Tepish was expecting it, gets the drop on him, has a gun on him, and is going to shoot him.
And I have the quote if you want it.
Oh, I bet, because I bet we're talking about the same thing. Why don't you tell me about your plan?
Tell me how to disarm the beam. Come on, it's the sporting thing to do.
Yeah, like that. Because there's normally the, you know,
to which of course Tepish
just does.
Yeah,
because there's that stupid cliche of over-explaining the plan when you think you have the villain. But no, he just specifically asks, and Wikipedia lists this as a pseudo parody, which I think is some cover your ass shit, because you have a movie like Black Dynamite, which is a great style parody of those blaxploitation films and does a lot of the same crappy stuff, but does it in a way that, you know, they're doing it, you know, they're just staying true to the style, and there's actual jokes in it that are funny on top of that. This is just a piece of shit that they went like, no, we're making fun of that.
No, this, to say this is a parody is like Tommy Wiseau saying The Room was meant to be a comedy, where no, it wasn't. Yeah. It's just it things went wrong and you don't want to own up to it.
So, and Tepish, being a sporting man that he is,
yes,
gives up how to do it, and it involves using fingerprints from him and Kurtz to
the left index finger fingerprint.
Well, he doesn't name Kurtz exactly. He just says himself and a man he can, you know.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing, and then Tepish goes to shoot him. He's getting ready to fire the gun. Dax goes, leans to the side, grabs a spear that's just sitting there, throws it at him. In midair, shot of spear in midair. You hear Duncan go, catch. Spear hits Tepish. Tepish then shoots gun.
Yeah.
It's like, hit, pause, Tepish shoots gun, hits Duncan in the side, and then he falls over.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it was so awkwardly done.
Yeah, the timing,
the beats
that scene
were just
was
all
fucking
just
horrible.
Off.
There's a part where I was just shocked that it didn't work out. Remember earlier in the film where they set up all the gadgets?
Yeah.
How was that not the time he uses the ninja stars?
Yeah. Does the ninja star even come into play?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the moment where he throws the ninja star to disarm the fat guy, and it didn't come up. And I was just, he threw the spear. Just one, the way the spear flies is so poorly done, it's embarrassing. But then two, you set up the fucking things on your belt, and that belt's there the whole...
Well, and then, so then he leaves, and the camera does this slow zoom in on Tepish on the ground, impaled by a spear.
Yeah.
Almost in this way, like if he had died in an ironic fashion, or the thing that he created destroyed him or something, it would make sense.
Yeah.
But it's like, look at that. He died as he didn't want to die, impaled by a spear.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing he didn't want happened to him. It was really stupid. Then you see Jax go over, and he makes a big show out of pulling out Swiss Army knife and pulling out a tiny little boning knife from it. And you get the impression that he's cutting off.
Yeah.
But I just like that's what he has, is this dinky Swiss Army knife. He doesn't have a machete or something.
John, where did we first meet him?
Oh, right. Switzerland.
Exactly.
Oh, it's all tying together.
This movie's very layered. This is like Inception.
So this does come to the moment, like the one moment in the movie that I actually kind of liked, which I should mention, while this is going on, the mercenaries are attacking, and Saito and the baboon are still on the boat.
Yeah.
And Saito urges the baboon into battle, and I believe says, like, show them what the desert fox can do. The desert fox is fucking Rommel.
Yeah.
That's a Nazi.
I was confused by that. Because
I don't know if he was referring to that he was calling the baboon the desert fox, or if he was calling the tank that the baboon eventually drives the desert fox.
Yeah.
Because the baboon drives a tank.
That's true. That happened.
I'm angry at this movie because that should be awesome. I'm watching a baboon shooting people. That should be so cool, and I'm so just upset.
You're completely right. I'm now re-annoyed at this movie that they took away that from us.
Because it's like Armageddon had a Gatling gun on a moon rover because it was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Because why would you have that? It doesn't matter. It's just cool. And you felt that. This had a baboon driving a tank, and I just couldn't. It got nothing out of me.
Yeah.
And that.
No, you're absolutely right. We were robbed, John.
Yeah.
We were robbed of the joy we should have had.
Because
watching a pygmy marmoset drive.
Why are you not... Why is that not your headliner? Like, why is that not everything built around a baboon driving a tank? Why am I bothering with Duncan Jenks? Why isn't this called Boom, the Tank Driving Baboon?
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked that movie a lot better, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So,
and I'm being honest with you.
They cut away from the only decent part, what should be the only decent part, to the actual decent part, which is they go to the where the laser thing is happening, and Dr. Kurtz still has Dr. Venkman held hostage, trying to fire the laser. Jack shows up, gets the drop on Kurtz, and then shows him that he has cut off Tepish's finger, puts it on the console where it needs to go, and is like, hey, Kurtz, give me your finger. Instead of just killing a Nazi and taking his finger like he just did, he wants Kurtz to give him. So Kurtz goes, hell no, and dips his hand into acid. Which I thought was kind of bad. That's a concept. Like, he's like, no, screw you. I will just murder myself by boiling myself alive.
Yeah, that's one of those moments I stopped hating the movie for a moment. Yeah.
Because that's the only way to stop it. Oh, other than blowing up the laser. That could also stop it. And no one has thought of that till this point.
Sort of, because this is where one of the major problems in the film is. So he goes, scientist, he doesn't have a finger anymore. How can I turn it off? Because there's no way to turn it off. Except, here's what he can do. If you leave all the doors open while you're firing the photon beam, it will self-destruct. Cool. Next scene, John, what's happening? That's right. They're setting explosives.
Yeah.
So they
Well, no, he said that I thought you had to mess with the laser thing itself.
No, they said when it goes off, he said you have to leave the thing so when it goes off, it self-destructs.
Okay.
So what they do is blow it up with explosives.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
They said it's going to self-destruct, so they cut to them setting up explosives.
Right. Yeah, they're taking action. They're being proactive.
Also,
SD just shows up.
Yeah,
with a special delivery of some explosives.
Yeah,
that he gives to Duncan Jackson. Duncan does it. I mean, it doesn't matter. He just blows
he takes a grappling hook at one point just to crawl up something to slide back down.
Yeah, it's
which was this whole the end. Of the movie was infuriating.
Every 10 seconds, checking the clock.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it is just end already. And guess what? They blow this thing up and they get away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're sitting on a... So they rescue Youngblood. Hooray.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Everyone's fine. Nothing. Great.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
They blow up the Hidden Temple, and then they're on a boat escaping, and it's daytime out.
Yeah, and they're shaking hands a lot. There's a lot of hands.
They're very... Hammer's counting his money, which I like that payoff.
Again, Hammer, the pretty much the greatest guy in the film.
The only decent one.
Him and the Gibbon.
So on the boat, and Duncan is sitting between the mercenary woman and Youngblood.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we're pretty great. Maxine Ryder, whatever. And then looks at Youngblood and is like, oh, it's kind of stuffy. Should we go get some air?
The thing is, no, because Maxie goes, hey, so it turns out you're pretty good. I finally got to see you in action. Looks pretty good. And Maxie goes, well, you haven't seen all of his skill set or whatever. Because she sets him up.
Right.
She wingmans him.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which is important because that should have been a three-way. Sorry. Yeah. Please continue,
Well,
John.
And so then he's like, oh, it's stuffy. Should we go get some air? And then him and Youngblood go downstairs like they're going to bang. But no, he unveils a fucking hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon.
Oh, shit. I left out the most important part. When he kills Hitler.
Oh, how did we skip
How
killing,
did we skip killing Hitler?
How did we skip killing Hitler?
I'm so angry at this movie. I'm just tired.
Some of the best special effects I've ever seen.
So he goes into... This is right after he cuts off Tepish's finger. He goes into the cryogenic chamber. And you see Cake Hitler. Fondant Hitler. Yeah. Again.
Cake Hitler.
And then he just busts open the lid. Like there's the glass thing. He busts it open. And it's kind of revealed. They try to cover it. When he busts up, you see how tiny that Hitler is.
Yeah.
His hand is like larger than Hitler's head, the cake Hitler. But he does it, and then somehow breaking that seal causes Hitler's skull to break through his head. Yeah. In what should be, that could have been done well, but it was not.
No, it wasn't.
But you can see, you could just sense someone underneath just jamming the skull upward, yeah, and it's not really going through, and it's not really paying off. But so, yeah, he killed Hitler in this absolutely ridiculous way. So
yeah, that's I don't think anything more could be a demonstration for how this film affected us than we forgot the scene that Hitler got killed in.
That should have been the, yeah.
Oh, and he takes off the Iron Cross that Hitler's wearing. And I think that's called an Iron Cross.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because then they all meet up in the forest and he gives it to
Dad Boss.
Right. And Dad Boss is like, no one's going to believe this. Fine.
Yeah, there was like a good 2 minute run of them going, they're not going to believe this, but what about they're not going to believe this? Yeah. They're not going to believe
there's
this. Just checking his watch. Certainly not
going to
believe this.
Tedious as this movie might have sounded from us just going through it, you have to understand how many moments of inaction there were of people just standing there, or reaction shots that just went on way too long. Back to the boat, they uncover the hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And they get in the hot air balloon to
do you have the quote? Because I have it written down.
No, I don't know what go for.
Oh, John, did you not miss the really subtle double entendre? Think you'll have any trouble getting it up?
Yeah. And then he looks at her for a beat way too long.
Yeah.
And then they get in the hot air balloon and are going up, and everyone in the boat is so surprised by this. You just killed Hitler.
Yeah.
You just killed a credit, but you're like, a hot air balloon? What is that?
Yeah.
You saw a monkey drive a tank, but a hot air balloon is a bridge too far.
They're all waving and having fun.
Yeah, and then Star is like, what? That's government property.
Yeah.
I will see you in my office at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Let's just break that down. They're in South America.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how are you getting back?
How are you getting to your office by 8 a.m. tomorrow? Because your office is in Canada, U.S., Great Britain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that ending was pretty awful. The think you'll have any trouble getting it up would have been great an hour and a half ago,
right,
and then the whole movie they kept doing things like that, but they didn't have any fun with it. I mean, not that that's fun, but you know, like if the movie was dumb and punny and self-referential.
Well, even those James Bond movies that tend to end with him scoring with, usually there's some kind of horrible on double entendre there, but this was just not even a good double entendre. It was just like boners.
Yeah. So, I see that hot air balloon. You think your cock's going to work?
Yeah. So that happens. And then, you see the hot air balloon freeze frame credits roll. The credits list Hitler as himself.
Are you serious?
They credited Hitler.
Oh, that's fantastic.
No, it is not.
Wait, do you think they used his real body?
Yes. That's actually how Hitler really died.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Hitler, unless Hitler was the name of the baboon. No, it's Hitler as himself.
That's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. And that's when I found out that Flo Hyman died, because the film is dedicated to Flo Hyman.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I saw that name.
She deserves better than this movie.
So here's another thing about this. The guy, the Ian whatever, is the lead guy.
Yeah.
He was only in these two movies.
Yeah, weird.
But was he part of the production company? How was he in these two? It's very strange.
Because he was correctly blackballed from anything?
No, because here's the thing. This movie's performance, he could easily be guy in background, white guy number one,
like, so he
restaurant server.
He didn't show up in any of Worth.
Nope, he's got two film credits, Unmasking the Idol and Order of the Black Eagle.
That was it. He just went, no, I'm good after this. I'm going to go back to looking like Michael Bolton on my private time.
And his full bio is Ian Hunter is an actor known for Order of the Black Eagle and Unmasking the Idol.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, we should find out what happened to him.
There is a part of me that is kind of curious about the first one, Unmasking the Idol. It's a lot of the same cast list.
Yeah.
Orson Welles shows back up, but I'm not going to sit through it. This movie was terrible.
I mean, if it's on YouTube, I might leave it on while I'm doing something
sure.
else.
If you're sitting around with friends drinking and MST3King it, like it'd be more enjoyable than just either of us just watching alone.
Yeah, I don't even want to MST3K it. I just mean like,
oh, I still was to nobody.
Yeah, if it's just on in the background while you're doing anything else and just half paying attention, you look up like, oh, wow, that black dude just totally fucking running through people, shouldering Nazis.
Yeah.
Fun scene.
Yeah.
However, sitting through everything else, not fun.
When they first got captured and then escape from the Nazis. I was like, all right, we got to be like 45 minutes in. And we were only 30.
Yeah, it's a laborious film.
Yeah.
But we did it. We talked about it.
We totally did.
We are going to have to tell everybody what we're watching for next episode.
Yes, I think we should.
And I believe that this is something that only a man of your experience, your know-how, and frankly, your swordsmanship can tell the audience.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen this movie. So,
I've only seen bits and pieces, so yeah. This will be interesting.
But I do have swordsmanship. No, we're going to watch Red Sonja, offshoot of the Conan-iverse.
All right, so we will see you next week. Oh, if you have any suggestions for us, johnandalex@gmail.com.
That's Alex with two X's.
Or I'm at the AlexCast on Twitter. John's at JCM5000.
Yeah.
So you can get in touch with us there. Eventually going to be a Facebook page.
Sure.
So, yeah, do that. Well, see you then.
Okay, bye.
Bye.